Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
I wish I could preach my message and keep that that same spirit in this place that's been moving this morning, because it's good, you know. And a couple of weeks ago when I did a communion message, I spoke on Colossians 3:11-12, and I said this. I said, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and is in all." And I was making mention of equality, that, you know, we're all equals. We're all equals. There's no one's better than another person. Billy Graham has just had a different calling on his life. And whatever your calling is on your life, if you can reach that calling, if you walk in that calling, then you're no different to Billy Graham. You've achieved as much as what Billy Graham achieved. And so we're all like vessels. We're all equals. We're all... all we need to do when God is moving is just basically stick your hand up. I might have to get that air conditioner turned down again. Sorry. But we're all equals, right? And I don't know about you, but me personally, I mean, I've been in this church a few years now. And for me, just recently, over the last 5 weeks or so, I've seen the Spirit really moving. And I'm not saying it hasn't in the past, but there's something going on. There's something happening. And we're all equals. And so when you see something happening, when you see God moving, all you need to do is stick your hand up and say, "I want some of that. I want a piece of that." And God's going to give it to you. He's not going to say, you know, if he's moving in somebody, he'll move in everybody. And so now's a building time. Now's a great time. I know with the Bible group, that's just something in the spirit about that, starting off. And I think that's great. I think that's awesome, you know. People stepping up and starting to do something, starting to make things happen, you know. And if you've got anything on your heart that you want to do, now's the time to start pushing into God with that and get that working, get that happening. You know, we need to be partakers. We need to get on the board. When the Spirit is moving, it's really, really important to get on board with that, to get a piece of that. When my mum, I remember I was talking a couple of weeks ago about my mum, but she was sick, and so she wanted to go to Argentina to see Carlos Anacondia, I think his name is. This was back in like 2005, but there'd been a massive move of the Spirit through Argentina. And from 1990, I think there was 0.5% of people who were born again in Argentina. And then in 2004, there was 10%. So it went from 0.5% to 10% in like those 15 years. And the power of God was just moving through that place so strongly, so powerfully. And I can remember Mum saying to me that she was amazed, because there was just people sitting there in different churches that you went into, just praying, "More of you, Lord, less of me. More of you, less of me," just over and over again. And at the time, I sort of didn't really understand what that was all about. But as I thought about it, and now as I think about it, they'd been through this. They'd seen God move. They had witnessed God moving in the Spirit. And they'd come to realize that they can't control it. You know, you can't, there's no formula for it. There's no, all it is, it's God. It's God moving. And the key is just to keep God in you. Get more of God in. Get more of God. More of God, less of me, you know. And the more of God you can get in, the more that you're going to be able to move in the things of the Spirit. The more you're going to see the things of the Spirit. And so basically what we've been preaching about is this month is is the road ahead. The road ahead for us as individuals, the road ahead for us as a church. And the first point I want to make is to get more in. Get more of God in. And it's sort of, a bit on par with what's been happening this morning, you know. You know, sometimes we see things in our life and we know they're wrong. We know those things are wrong. And the worst thing that you can do is start to think that those things aren't wrong, because then you sort of get caught. You get caught, and you're unable to fix those things if you don't see them as wrong. If you make excuses and you make them somehow to be not wrong, but we know the things that are wrong in our lives. But what we try and do is we try and chop them down. We try and get rid of them. Our New Year's resolution this year: I'm going to stop thinking that way. I'm gonna, you know, it could be a whole range of things, but we try and chop them off us. And it never really works. We just sort of grow back again. It just grows back again, whatever it is. It's like a stronghold, like the Bible speaks about strongholds. And what it says about that, in 2 Corinthians 10:4, I'm just going to read these out. But it basically says, 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down of strongholds," right? And so there's things in our lives that we try and chop off, but we can't. We can't get rid of them. They keep growing back. A stronghold is a castle. It's a fortress. So no matter how hard you try and break it off, it's just very difficult to do so. And that scripture says it really well, because it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty for pulling those things down. And so rather than trying to chop things off our life, the better way is just to get more in. Get more of God in. The more of God you get in, you'll find those things will push out. Those things will go. And you'll be free of them. You won't want to do those things. It's amazing. It's incredible how it works. And, you know, it's a bit like a conference, right? Like, who knows, like on a Sunday, like if there's a conference on the weekend or Friday and Saturday, I can remember at times there was a ladies' conference, for instance, and the ladies would come into church on Sunday and they'd just float, and, you know, their eyes are like, they're just, oh man, that was the best, you know, and they're just saying that we just had the best time, and they're flying, they're in the spirit, because they've got all this, they've pumped all these things of the spirit into them over the last couple of days, and they're just full of it. And they got all these plans, and they want to do these things, and they're lightheaded, and sin's not in their way because it's just been pushed aside by the things of the spirit. I mean, Brett, where's Brett gone? Oh, he's had to go, but I wanted some of that action that he was praying this morning, you know, but we can all get it. Brett's been away. Brett's been in a time of filling. He's come here. God's here. We can all get a piece of that. Put your hand up. Say, I want some. Now's the time. Now's the time to get a bit of that. But that's awesome. That was so good. And you know, I see good things happening in this church. I really do. It's like a time of renewal. Sometimes we need a time of renewal. We need to just push back into God and just start firing up again. And that's all it takes. That's all it takes to get a bit of momentum back into your life. And from there, things can happen. Things can change. Things fly off you. Things break off you. And it's awesome. And it's something you can do at home in your own time. Just start digging in. Start getting into the Word. Start praying in tongues. Start getting into the Spirit. Start rebuking the devil off your life. Rebuke him off everything. Rebuke him off your storehouse. Rebuke him off your anxiety. If you've got anxiety, rebuke that anxiety. Rebuke that depression. Rebuke it. Get rid of it. Break it off you. Start working it in your life. And you'll find your ministries will grow. Your ministry will grow. I mean, I can remember I went through a time of renewal, exactly like this. And straight at that time, I was at a meeting here, and the men's ministry just started. Right at that time, that I, like a week after, I'd started getting back into God, back into really trying to fire up in God. And that's what happens. Things move off that. If you want renewal in your life, if you want strength, get more in. Get more of God in. You know, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not saying don't walk in the lust of the flesh. Don't walk in those things. Don't think, don't do that, because you try and do that, it's just too difficult. Just walk in the Spirit and then those things will go. Get more in, right? And it's like fasting, right? And I'm not going to try and preach about fasting here because I don't like fasting. I don't enjoy it. and I don't think anybody should ever try and make somebody feel that they should fast. That's something that you do in your own personal way or as a group if you want to be part of that, because that's the only way it's really going to benefit. But it's not like God looks at you when you're fasting and says, oh, look, Tom's fasting, I'm going to bless him because he's showing a bit of, you know, he's given a bit of nous, and so I'm going to bless him, right? But it's just the fact that when you fast, you starve your flesh. You starve your flesh, and so your spirit's stronger. You're making your spirit stronger. So from putting less food in, you're putting more in. You're putting more of the Spirit in. You're getting more of the Spirit. Fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Therefore, it strengthens your prayers. I mean, Jesus, in Luke 4:14, it basically says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And so what had happened is that he received the Spirit of God. And shortly after he received the Spirit of God, he went into the desert. And what did he do? He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know how he did that. But see, Jesus was about to face the biggest temptation that any man had ever faced. He had the world on his shoulders, right? He had something big going on. And he knew he had to fast to be able to do that, to be able to handle what was about to happen to him. I mean, it was massive, and so that's why he had to fast for so long. And then he had victory. He had victory. He withstood the temptation of the devil, and that was it. He had victory, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. He was strong in the Spirit. He was pumped in the Spirit. And so fasting does have its place, but like I said, it's a personal thing, how you use it. Don't have to tell people you're fasting. Just do it your own way in your own thing, and it's a good thing. It does. That's your thing to do how you want to do. So basically, you know, when you're struggling with weights or whatever, you just got to get more of the Spirit in. Get into your quiet place, get more of God in, and it'll change your life. The Spirit of God will change your life. The second point I want to make is sticking it out. Sticking it out. You know, sometimes you just got to stick it out, you know. What will happen and what I've found is that if you quit, then it'll just come back around again. You just have to go through it again because so often God's trying to teach you something. And if you back out, if you quit, all it does is slow you down. You don't move forward. You know, I love the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph, and he was, it's one of my favourite stories in the Bible, it always has been, but it's the fact that he was so pumped up. He was excited as a kid about God. He was excited to tell the people about his prayers, you know. He was pumped, and he went through where his brothers, you know, they deserted him, they abandoned him for death. He was sent away. He was jailed for 2 years, you know. He was put into a prison for 2 years, and all that time he had God with him. He still had God with him. But then there's the part in the Bible where the baker and the butler, they get thrown in into prison and they have the dreams and they're talking about the dreams, and Jesus says, don't interpretations belong to God? And he says it with such fire. He's still charged. He's been through all that stuff and he's still charged up, you know? I mean, I can remember when I first became a Christian, I remember walking into a hospital and saying, who wants to be saved? Into this room, and there was this little old guy in this bed, and he put his, yeah, me, I do, you know. But to keep pumped up like that. I would like to remain that pumped up about God, that strong about God. And Joseph did that. Joseph never gave up. And the same needs to be with us. No matter what we go through, no matter what we're facing, we don't give up. And the strength in that comes into just getting back into God, getting more in. Get into your quiet place. Work it. Work the Spirit of God. Break those things off. Fight the fight. Battle the battle. You know, it's about the Spirit of God. Just get back in, strengthen, repower, reboot. You know, it's a bit like your job, even your job. You know, I've had a job which I hated. I absolutely hated. And I know some of others have been through that. And the fact of the matter is that you can't walk away because you need the money. And so you just got to keep pressing on and wait for God to bring something else along. But if you give up, if you walk away, then you won't get that goal that's at the end of it. So you just got to keep pressing in, keep believing God, and then God will bring something better along. He will move, but you can't quit before it happens, all right? And so you get into this stage in life where you realize that everything you have comes from God. Everything you have comes from God, you know? It's a bit like how your tithe is supposed to work. What your tithe is saying, God, you give me my money. That's what it's saying. It's saying that I believe, God, that you will supply my need and that you are the one that gives me my money. It's you, God. And so in that, it's God who gave you your job. It's God that brings your income in. And so that belongs to God. And so every week you tithe, every fortnight you tithe, it's a spiritual thing that happens because we don't like giving away our money. Right? And so it's this thing that happens in our heart, and that's why it's powerful, because it's saying, God, you give me my money, and you're trusting in him. You're trusting in God. You know, my dad thinks it's weird because when I was 20, I used to always ask him for money all the time. Since I've been saved, I've barely ever asked him for a cent. Since I've been a tithing Christian, I would like more money, sure, but the fact of the matter is that God supplies, God blesses. Know that your money is God's money. Step in. It's a spiritual thing. Your tithe's a spiritual thing. Remember that. It's a spiritual thing, and it'll bless your life. And then it comes to church as well. Okay, I just want to read from 1 Corinthians 12:18. It says here, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now there are many members, yet one body. Right? But I like the start of that where it says, but now God has set the members. You see, it's God who puts you in a church. And there's got to be a spiritual investment in your life. Just like you need your job for money, you need your church. You need that spiritual investment. You need to realize that everything good you've got in life comes from God. You need to get to that point. And so nothing is more important than God. And so God has placed you in a church to be a part of that body. And sometimes, I've done it. I've walked away from a church that I've been placed in. So, and I'm sure these things happen to all of us at times where we get that pressure to do so. But I can remember myself, I walked away from the church God had placed me in, and I went to every other church in the area. And it was good for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, but then I realized that it just wasn't right. There were two big toes, and I was just another big toe. You know what I mean? And so what we need to get is that the place that God has planted you is the place you're going to grow best. John Bevere said the same thing. I remember he said that he did the same thing. He went to all these different churches and then he came back and he just felt this move of the Spirit on his heart. This is where I said you were supposed to be. See, God places you in a body. And when the going gets tough, the worst thing you can do is walk away. Because you walk away and you're affecting the whole body. And the thing is that if you stick it in, God can then work on you. That's when he's going to start doing stuff. And he's going to start twisting and turning. It's going to hurt, but you're going to grow and you're going to fix up. You know, over the years, I've heard so many reasons. You know, people saying, oh, the Sunday school's not good, so we're going, you know. Or, you know, another big one, there's no people my own age in the church. You hear that a lot, you know. All these reasons we come up for leaving the place God's placed us in. But what we need to realise is that our kids are better off in the place God's placed us in. We're better off in the place God's placed us in. And, you know, that's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to build. You need to have an investment into that church. Because whatever you can do on your own with the church, you're going to go up. You're going to grow. Know where you're meant to be and then stay in that place and continue to grow in that place. You know, I'd go to Africa. If I knew that God wanted me to go to Africa, and I knew it without a doubt, I'd go to Africa tomorrow. And so that's all you need in life, is to know where God wants you to be. That's it. You know where God wants you to be, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be anywhere else. And then the third point I want to make today is do your bit to maintain the body. Do your bit to maintain the body. It's a very important part of going forward. Going forward. It's just sometimes you can't really do much in the church. That's me, right? It has been me in the past. But just try and do something. Try and just do something, whatever it is. Try and do a little bit, whatever that might be, just to do your bit to maintain, to be part of the body. I like to see the church as a place of evangelism, right? Like so often, it's so hard to go out there. We can preach on the streets. We can door knock. We can do all these things. But one of the best ways to evangelize is the church, is to have a place where people come in and they like what they see. They like what they see, right? It's like a snowball as it rolls down a hill, gets bigger. If it's rolling, it gets bigger, right? If the church is rolling how it should, it'll get bigger. It's like Hillsong. You know, you go to Hillsong and it's like, wow, look at this joint. Wow, I'm going to come back next Sunday. You know what I mean? But the thing is that, you know, when the church works how it's supposed to work, it's attractive. It is really attractive. It just has to work the way it's supposed to work. We need to realise that one of the main jobs of the devil, one of his main purposes is to split the church, is to break up churches, because he knows the power of churches. And so what it means is that if you're having struggle in church, realise that the devil's behind it. He's the one behind it. He wants you out. He wants you gone. He wants to ruin your relationship with so-and-so so that they won't come back next Sunday. Okay? And so you need to be wary of that. You need to be wary of the work of the devil. Don't let him press in and ruin things. Break him off and sort the stuff out. Sort it out. Get it sorted quickly. Okay? You know, it says in Matthew 12, 25 to 26, it says this. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Right? So if the church is divided against itself, it's going to struggle. It's not going to be able to stand. But if it's strong, if it's working well, it will more than stand. It will grow. You know, if I bring in somebody, if you know, a big part of a lot, honour elders, right? It's little things that make a church work. Honour elders. Honour your elders. Honour goes both ways. Elders need to honour the younger. Your pastors deserve double honour. You know, they have a lot more on their plate. They're the ones organising the show. You know? But what I'm saying is when everybody honours everybody, then people are happy. You know, I was talking to a Coles. There's a thing going on at Coles where where the people, they were starting to feel abused. There was anxiety, there was depression going on because the customers were so rude to the Coles people. They'd go in, why are you so slow? Why is this price that price? Why has this happened? And they were attacking the workers. And like we know, we hear all the time, it's all about customer service. It's all about us showing customer the right thing to the customers. But see, that respect goes both ways. And sure, it probably goes a bit more on the Coles side, but you need to respect one another. Even if they are the one working, you can't go in and just abuse people. It's like with elephants, right? Now, I don't mean to compare us to elephants, but what they found is that elephants honour their elders, right? It says here, a recent study shows that when the elders are taken away, this key information is never passed down and those young elephants never learn appropriate responses to elephant calls or perhaps other cues. Dr. Graham Shannon plays calls to two elephant herds, one affected by culling and one not. The calls were of familiar and unfamiliar elephants. The herd that had not experienced a culling reacted normally. They had their elders, see? They reacted normally. They knew the voice. They knew the voices. And they bunched together defensively when hearing an unfamiliar elephant and staying relaxed when hearing a familiar voice. But the herd that experienced culling in the 1970s and 1980s reacted randomly without any pattern at all. And the point I want to make there is that when the church honouring its elders, is coming together, then they'll team together, they'll group together. When something happens, when something bad happens, they'll group together. But when you've got a church which is not respecting and honouring one another, they'll act randomly. They'll act randomly, right? And so basically, you know, it's important to have respect. It really is. Know that when you bless your brother or sister, God will bless you. Who knows that? You know, if you be the bigger person, if you, even though you're right, you know, you can be right, but you can be dead wrong. It's so true. Everybody with a wife or a husband will know that, right? But it's not about being right. What matters is how you deal with a problem. It's not the problem, it's how you deal with it. That's what matters. That's right. That's exactly right. And so if you are able to come in and somebody's done the wrong thing by you in church, but you're able to humble yourself and go and talk to that person and they snob you off, but you're able to go back again next week. If you're able to do that, God will bless you. You're demanding a blessing. You are demanding a blessing. For God is not unrighteous, so as to forget your work and labour of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints. The saints are your people in your church. Minister to one another. Sort stuff out. Get it sorted quickly. When the church is working together, it works as a place of like evangelism. You know, I remember mentioning Smith Wigglesworth. He said that there was a Pentecostal mission moving around that time, and they took somebody there and he was just saved because he had no choice. It was so attractive. It was so pumping with the things of the Spirit that he just wanted to be there. And so I know I've got people that I'd like to bring to church, but if the church is working properly, if it's functioning properly, if it's attractive like what it was this morning, I wish I'd have brought somebody in here today, because the person I wish he had been here today, because I think something would have happened there because the Spirit was here today. But the church will grow and get bigger and as we do that. You know, sometimes you're the giver, sometimes you're the receiver. Sometimes you just want to come to church and sit there and be quiet, and that's fair. That's fair. You don't have to come to give if you're tired, if you've had a hard week. The church is for you. See, we're meant to minister to you. You're one of the saints. You're broken, you're going through some hard times. You don't want to talk to anybody this morning. The church is for you. This is where you should be. You're our brother. You're our sister. We love you. You know, those ones that are stronger at the time, well, then they can take over. They can minister. But just because we're Christians doesn't mean we've got everything under control. Doesn't mean we've got everything in the bag, you know. The church is for everybody. And your main ministry is to one another. The lost come second. One another first. You know? So, look. If you want prayer this morning, if you'd like to come up and pray, if you want to get into a place where you want to refill, where you want to re-strengthen, where you want to re-lighten, where you want the Spirit to get back into the things of the Spirit and see the Spirit moving in your family. I'll tell you this, if you get the Spirit moving in your heart, it'll affect your wife, it'll affect your kids, it'll affect your family, it'll grow. If you want to start digging back into the things of the Spirit, then I want to pray for you this morning. Because I feel that I've got that ability to pray for you this morning and that you will receive something. Musicians back up. Have we got any more musicians? Or have they, or whatever, and just a bit of bass, perhaps? But is there anybody that feels they want a touch of the Spirit this morning? Well, either way, Lord, I just pray for this church, Lord God, Father. I just pray that you'd move by your Spirit in this place, Lord God, that you'd touch each and every one of us, Lord, that you'd reignite us, Lord God, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd help us move in the place you want us to move in, Lord God, and that you'd help us to grow as a church, Lord God. Help us to grow, Lord God. Help us to bring our people in, Lord God, that would be saved, Lord God. Move in our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks, Tom. That was great. Awesome, guys.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contact@centrallife.com.au.